Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. The show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. This is G.R. Mobley, and you are listening to the only show that asserts a constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. The number to call in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. And I also want to make sure that you understand that this show is dedicated in supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. What that means is that even though it may be their citizens that they're protecting from federal tyranny, they're actually protecting all of us as they start pushing this forward. We will all be underneath that blanket of protection when we finally get the Constitution, or I should say the federal government, into compliance with the Constitution. I have a big revelation today. We're going to get into a ratification debate out of Virginia, and it'll be Mr. George Nichols that we will be quoting or citing today. And this is important because I've had a few people talk to me about common law and the case law precedents, constitutional law, and those types of things. And so I have been telling people that there is no such thing as constitutional law. It is a contract, just like there is no such thing as Verizon law, because there are Verizon contracts, but they do not create law. The legislator creates laws. The contract actually just creates the jurisdiction or those very minute things that we have delegated to them. And I hope this all makes sense, but I want to press forward. I want to basically plea, if, because I could really use some help, if you have nothing else to do, and if you've got a little bit of time, I don't necessarily need money. And as a matter of fact, bringing up money, I will say this, even though I could use money or find some financial support or donations, I would rather you send your support to Chad Christensen in Idaho for supporting his campaign and helping him get across the finish line. His primary is a week from today. And so the news I would like to give you next Wednesday or whenever the final results come in is that he won and that we will have Republic Review on the floor in the Idaho State Assembly, as far as, because I believe he's running for a representative position, excuse me, and not a senator's position. Therefore, don't send me money, send it to him right now. And that way we can get some love and some help and support out to those who are willing to take on the federal government and fight for your liberty, fight for your constitution, and protect you from federal tyranny. That said, back to helping me, because I don't want to lose train of thought on this. I would love to have anybody that's got time, computers, resources, if you've got a Facebook account, what have you, hit me up and we can converse as to how you can help. Because as you know, unless you're paying money for Facebook, and I refuse to give Facebook a penny, especially because they are so biased and slanted in their bias, they're steeped in their bias, that I refuse to help them by giving them money so that they can control and curb conservative constitutional speech and so forth. I would much rather get an army of people out there pushing, liking, sharing, and those types of things. And that way they can't control you, but they can control their milieu or this environment they call Facebook. And that's the same thing with all social media. They all have this inherent, Twitter and so forth, they all have this inherent desire to make you a part of their family and make you think the way that they want you to think. And that, my friends, is Platonism. That is a fundamental tenet of what Marx and Engels wrote about in the Communist Manifesto. And so With that, let me move forward. Even though I just put the blinds down because it's a little bright today, I wanted to let you know that I did look. I've looked for signs of the government. I checked the news. I scanned the different channels. And there is not one sign coming from Washington, D.C., that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So if you were waiting for that, that miracle has not happened. And so what that means is I need your help. We need to do this. We need to roll up our sleeves, get shoulder to shoulder, and start working. And so I'm ready to do this. And so let me move forward, and I'm hoping that I can convince you that you've had enough. I'm hoping that you finally get to that point to say, that's it, I'm done. I'm no longer going to get distracted. I am going to be a focused machine. And that's what I would call a constitutional warrior. Anyway, my new question that is still riding out there for anybody that wants to jump onto it, and it is, what or where in the Constitution does the federal government derive their authority in creating and managing land for reservations, for any type of thing, whether that be plants, animals, minerals, anything, even people, because they've been creating and managing land reservations for quite a long time. And I'd like to find out, if you can help me, where that is in the Constitution. And so let's move forward. If you want to call in, the lines are open. I've actually made sure that they're open because I've gone through lots of tech support guys here, and I keep on firing them because they keep on failing or messing up. And so anyway, I apologize for all that tech support failures and shortfalls. But this new guy, he's going to get it, and he's going to get it right. If not, he's going to get thrashed. Anyway, there's a Red Pill Expo, as I've kind of been commenting on this, coming up in June. It's the 21st to the 23rd. It's a big deal, and they're going to be previewing the Lavoie Dead Man Talking, and it's a documentary that you'll never forget. It's going to be a great showing, as well as they're going to have a lot of different speakers. I know Trevor Lawton's going to be there, and Tom DeWeese, who were supporting Republic Review as well. I know that you will find there's all sorts of networking and opportunities in attending these types of things. I will also tell you that they are also going to be giving out, for the first 350 ticket purchasers, the Red Pill Expo DVD album that they created from last year's Red Pill Expo. And that way you'll be able to physically live this year and be able to capture all those things that were done and said last year. And so that being said, they're offering that, by the way, for both a general admission as well as a VIP ticket. And I don't know what the differences are, but you can go to redpillexpo.org and you can find out all the good juicy details on the Red Pill Expo. I know that I am working, and everything is still riding on me to get this kind of wrapped up as far as a presentation of what we're going to be doing, but I am hoping, and I think this is going to happen. I truly believe that the Red Pill University or somebody's going to back these rodeos. We're going to do one in Wyoming. We'll be doing one, hopefully, well, planning on doing one as well in Salt Lake, and hopefully we might get one done in Kansas, and that way we'll be able to get out and get more people engaged in looking at preserving our Constitution and our Republic. And so with all of that done and the universities kind of covered, I want to give you a different perspective regarding distractions. And I know I've talked about, the ineffectiveness of productivity when you allow yourself to get distracted, that you can't get your work done, you can't do the things that you want done for yourself. But I wanted to take a new approach instead of, you allowing yourself to get sucked into conversations. What about those distractions that are just coming at us that, not that we get sucked in, it's just like you get slapped in the face, whether that be, the mosquito bite that, grabs your attention, you got to, hit that mosquito. those types of things that are, I'll just say, actually attacking or intervening in your life and in your everyday things, whether it's you're focusing on a good audiobook to work and somebody cuts you off and maybe you have an accident, that's a really big distraction. Or whether it's, you know, you're trying to communicate with four or five people at the same time and you're not effectively communicating. And therefore, maybe these are four different accounts and you're not being successful in landing those deals with those four separate accounts. And so those are distractions. But I want to get into this, and I'm not done, because I think this is really important in getting a handle on distractions, because we have to be focused if we're going to kill the beast. So with a hard break, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors and some promos. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so as I was going into break, I was commenting that there are a plethora, there is a sundry of distractions. Some of those are self-imposed. You sit down and want to do something on your computer, some flash or some type of advertisement pops up in your browser and you go, oh, let me check that out, because they know what distracts you and they're very good at targeting those types of things. They know that you might have been looking for purchasing something, a filter or whatever. And so they are deliberately trying to get your attention. And if you allow yourself to be distracted, then you will find that you're going to spend more time on your computer than you necessarily need to do. And there's also the distractions of people needing your attention, phone calls, and those types of things that are possibly important. But there are literally, we have to condition ourselves, right? We have to learn how to put off distractions. And so there's two types of conditionings that I remember learning in psychology. And I know that you've probably heard of these. If not, I'm going to teach you something a little bit here. There's classical conditioning and there's operant conditioning. And classical conditioning, if you remember Pavlov's dog, that was classical conditioning, where when a certain thing happened, he basically was expecting a treat and he would salivate and so forth. So classical conditioning is how you condition yourself to follow processes or routines and those types of things so that it just becomes second nature for you to do. Operant conditioning is your ability to tune out the distractions. So classical conditioning is where you need to discipline yourself in being able to sit, go to work. Maybe this will help you become more productive. And you know what? You'll owe it to G.R. Mobley that you got a promotion this year because you became much more productive because you started applying these conditioning factors and stopped allowing yourself to get distracted. That being said, classical conditioning, again, is that conditioning where you are disciplining yourself to stay within a rigid regime and performing very specific functions. If it's an assembly line, then there's no time for you to, you know, go through your wallet or check your phone for, you know, you got the next thing coming, next thing coming, next thing coming. So like a bucket brigade or what have you. Operant conditioning is when things all of a sudden occur that start to distract you from something. And maybe it's important, maybe it's not. You need to be able to do a quick triage and say, you know what, that distraction is not important at this point in time. I'm going to let that person who's calling leave a message and I will get back to them. And that way you can stay focused on those things that you're doing so you can get things done. And that's what we all need to do, is start focusing on what we have to do in assisting getting this audit started. Because if we're not doing this together, we're going to have some problems. Because as I've been telling people, I cannot do this by myself. This is not a one-man message or a one-entity message, organization, whatever you want to call it. This requires everybody to come on board. That's why when I wrote this in my second book, my vision was not to create a new institution, a new thing. My vision was to create or to provide this content and this very specific message to become an appliance for everybody to connect to so that everybody can utilize this message in literally rallying their own organizations, their own troops, their own people into getting on board with the auditing principle, the contractual context of the Constitution, if that makes sense, three C's in a row. Anyway, the intent is that we actually start looking at the Constitution no longer as this noble guide of governance or this living document. It is a contract. There is no other such thing as, there's nothing that comes out of the contract that is law. It is either in the contract or it's not. And there's there's really no interpretation, especially when you start grabbing the ratification debates as the delimiter and what defines what is in the Constitution and what is not. And so that's why it's really important. That's why I'm going to go through Nicholson's comments regarding the ratification debates in Virginia on what is in this Constitution and how they defined it, so that you have a better and more accurate picture of what is in this Constitution. That being said, again, let me ping it out there for you. Chad Christensen, please support Chad for Idaho, and it's chadforidaho.org. So go there, throw $5, $10, whatever you can. Just give him some help so that he can get a couple more ads, so he can get a little bit of a wave and some momentum to get over that line, so that he can unseat that establishment Republican that has been in office for a long time. And so remember the facts I've been talking about. If we are not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk losing these battles. That is why the Constitution is the best defense that we have, and the Constitution is the best weapon that we have. And so while the national media and national conservatives stay conservatives, you know, if you listen to everybody's shows, they're all talking about the federal elections. So these are really critical federal elections. I am telling you, the focus must be on state legislators and state positions. As you understand, it is only the state that has the authority to authorize what is in that Constitution, whether you're doing it or not. As long as we allow the children to dictate what they want to do and what they can do, then they're going to continue running amok. It's time for the parents to step up and actually take control of these out-of-control children and get them into the framework of the Constitution. And so, speaking of distractions, how about that Iran deal? You want to talk about that? I don't, because it was an unconstitutional deal from the start. They didn't go through the requirements of getting 2/3 of the House, so it's an unconstitutional treaty. We should never have been honoring it, and we should never have gotten into it. And another good distraction, why is it that Kim and Xi are meeting in China so often now? Well, duh. Don't you think Kim is getting coaching and preparing him to meet with Trump coming up? He's getting all the coaching he possibly can so that they can address every single potential angle that they anticipate America is going to come with for these deals, because they've already had trade deals and trade discussions in China. So it's obvious that China wants to make sure it provides the clearest guidance for its little rogue nation, North Korea. That being said, there's also talk about the early voting polls in Arkansas, and as they show, it seems that the Democrats are very motivated in making changes in this coming election. I do not want you to get distracted on that. If you have family, if you have friends, if you live in Arkansas, make sure you grab everybody by their nose and get them down to the polls that are conservative, constitutionalist, Republicans, whatever the classification is, anti-Democrat. Get them out and get them involved in the electorate process so that they can make sure that the Democrats don't steal any more seats. I'm telling you, they will do anything and everything, whether that be voter fraud and election fraud, to steal these elections out from underneath us. And if you have an overwhelming outcome at the polls, it makes it very hard for them to get away with election fraud and voter fraud, because they hedge by the numbers. And I literally mean, they hedge these systems by the numbers, because they're just playing with the math. They don't think that so many are going to show up, so they only have to inject so many bad votes and allow so many bad ballots to get through. So anyway, I'm at a hard break, so forgive me, but we will be right back after a word from our sponsors and promos. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so as we move forward, I started off this show talking about law, constitutional law. And the fact is that they're really, the Constitution is a contract. It doesn't create a class or a type of law. All it does is it basically states that the federal government can do these things and it can't do these things. And so when it comes out to, or it comes down to a question, is whether the federal government might be able to squeeze something into this or in an interpretation, many people consider that that is constitutional law. But I want to be clear, There's no such thing as case law or precedents being allowed or even added or even interpreted as a part of the Constitution. And that is because the states would have rejected the Constitution specifically on the grounds that the Supreme Court would then have the ability to dictate what would be constitutional, what would not be constitutional. And it was clear that Article 5 left it strictly to the states to determine what was to be constitutional and what is not to be constitutional. So, this is Nichols, and he is basically replying back to George Mason, and this is where they were debating the Bill of Rights and such grandioso things. And he says, "But sir, this Constitution is defective because the common law is not declared in force." There he says it. The common law is not projected within the Constitution. And I'm going to take a break right here. There are two types of laws that are practiced in America. Most everybody understands common law because every state in the union except one applies common law as their law type or form of law. The other law is civil law. And civil law, common law came from Britain, and civil law came from Rome, which was inherited into France, which was inherited into Louisiana. So anyway, there's these two types of laws, but the Constitution didn't dictate what states had to do or what they didn't have to do and what type of laws. And so, because a lot of people say that the Constitution or the interpretation, all those things, it all falls under common law. No, the Constitution is a contract. It did not create a new type or new form of law. Lawyers make a lot of money to convince you that it did. Either it's in the contract or it's not. And if you want to know why or what was meant in within the contract, you really need to read the ratification debates. And the best source for understanding the ratification debates would be the University of Wisconsin in their documentation history of the ratification debates, because they have it all there. Avalon Project on, I think it's Cornell University or whatever, just Google Avalon Project and you can get the basic text of these ratification debates, but these are fragments. A lot of them are just fragments. Some of them are in entire text, like I think Virginia and New York are the entire text. But anyway, let me move on. What would have been the consequence if it had? It would be immutable. In other words, once they put it in, there's no arguing. That is it, and there's nothing left to it. But now it can be changed or modified as the legislative body may find necessary for the community. In other words, for each state, they have the ability to change whether it be common law, civil law, or what they have. But, and I go on, but the common law is not excluded. There is nothing in that paper to warrant the assertion. As to the exclusion of a jury from the vicinage, and when I say vicinage, or he says vicinage, that means the vicinity. exclusion of a jury from the vicinity, he has mistaken the fact. The legislator may direct a jury to come from the vicinity, but the gentleman says that by this Constitution, they have the power to make laws to define crimes and prescribe punishments, and that consequently, we are not free from torture. So he's quoting what Mason had said before. And then he goes on, treason against the United States is defined in the Constitution, and the forfeiture limited to the life of the person attainted. Congress have the power to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the laws of nations, but they cannot define or prescribe the punishment of any other crime whatever without violating the Constitution. So I'm going to pause right here. So drug laws that the DEA has created, interstate commerce laws of what you can do and what you can't do, or any type of commerce laws, those have no legal jurisdiction. These are the only laws that, and I've told you this, and as a matter of fact, Jefferson even made the exact same assertion in his Kentucky Resolution of 1798. It's pretty clear, folks. They have very limited jurisdiction of laws, okay? And so If we had no security, this moving on, if we had no security against torture, but our Declaration of Rights, we might be tortured tomorrow, for it is repeatedly infringed and disregarded. A Bill of Rights is only an acknowledgement of the pre-existing claims to the rights in the people. They belong to us as much as if they had been inserted in the Constitution. But it is said, if it be doubtful, the possibility of dispute ought to be precluded. Admitting it was proper for the convention to have inserted a Bill of Rights, it is not proper here to propose it as a condition of our accession to the Union. So what he was saying is, had it been proper at that point in time for them to insert it, they could have. But at this point in time, because they're ratifying the Constitution, they do not have the ability to ratify it without, you know, its inclusion. In other words, demanding that, well, our ratification is contingent upon you putting these things in. It's either you ratify it or you don't. They did not have the opportunity to place any type of contingencies on their ratification. So going on, but it is said, if it be doubtful, the possibility of dispute ought to be precluded. Admitting it was proper for the convention to have inserted the bill, I just read that. Okay, would you reject this government for its omission, dissolve the union, and bring miseries onto yourself and posterity? So in other words, he's posing the question, are you really willing to just let the union go because of its omission and basically relegate your posterity into misery? And he says, I hope the gentleman does not oppose it on the ground solely. Is there any other reason? He said that it is not only the general wish of the state, but all the states to have a Bill of Rights. If it be so, where is the difficulty of having this done by way of subsequent amendment? We shall find the other states willing to accord with their own favorite wish. The gentleman last up says, and he's talking again about Mason, that the power of the legislation includes everything. And here's the kicker. Let's listen to this. A general power of legislation does. But this is a special power of legislation. Therefore, it does not contain the plenitude or all of the powers which he imagines. They cannot legislate in any case, but those particularly enumerated. No gentleman who is a friend to the government ought to withhold his assent from it for this reason. And he's being very clear there that Mason and many of the anti-federalists were making this claim that the Constitution gave the federal government an innumerable access to creating laws for anything and everything that they wished for. That is incorrect. They said this several times. So anybody that says that the federal government can do whatever they wish, they are lying and they're taking the anti-federalist position. The Federalists and the authors of the Constitution clearly stated that the Constitution limited and defined the jurisdiction and boundaries of the federal government. If it is not in there, they have no jurisdiction in it, and they have no authority, responsibility, roles, or powers within those unenumerated things, whether that be healthcare, whether that be welfare, whether that be education, whether that be energy, whether that be housing, whether that be, you've got the idea, anything and almost everything that they're doing that is not listed in the Constitution is unconstitutional. So, as I wrap up this segment, let me ask my favorite question. What is it going to take for people to start understanding we are living under federal tyranny to the magnitude that would boggle any mind, especially the framers' mind, considering the type of the sacrifices that they went through in creating this limited government, fighting the revolution and everything else, and it just... Help me out here, folks. We will be right back for the last segment after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so this is the last call. I want to make sure that I, or last segment at least, not that we're serving up drinks here, but I did want to make sure that I reminded you to please go to Chad for Idaho. That's F-O-R. Idaho.org so that you can contribute. It doesn't kill anybody to throw $2, $3, $5, $10 or whatever you can, just a small little donation. Every little bit helps. We need to get those people who are willing to step away. And believe me, I tried contacting all sorts of state legislators in Idaho. And regardless of the circumstances, I do understand that they have a short primary, which heavily favors the incumbent. It makes it almost impossible for you to get out there so that the electorate can get to know you so that you have a chance in beating that name recognition of those guys that become entrenched. In many places, the people that are no longer running have kind of anointed their replacement because they want to make sure that the establishment pool is maintained. And so I am pleading, help these people in these very red states start the dialogue. We are running out of time. I've told you, and if you can come up with a good argument that says we've got 20, 30 years, then dial in. I am listening, because the evidence, as far as I am concerned, points to the fact that we have probably 2 to 3 years, or I should say 2 to 3 to 5 years of potential opportunity to step in and engage the federal government before they discard our Constitution for political expediency. The day is coming quickly, folks. That's why it is critical and of the utmost importance. And so I will stop railing about it now. And I'll just take a quick, journey back on Platonism. As I said yesterday, and I've said it before, Plato was spot on. Even though Marx and Engels did get into the same kind of level and parts and pieces in their manifesto that Plato did, you can tell they copied most of this concept. And again, I want you to understand how Plato was spot on. He understood the importance of the teachers and the propaganda mill, all of these different facets of society that needed to control the narrative. And that is how we, as an enlightened society, literally had the rug pulled out from underneath us and moved us towards a primitive and carnal society. That is why we've literally have been immersed in all sorts of just bad influences. What else do you want to call it? The rampantness of the use of drugs. You know, they had drugs back in their days. They had discipline, and they taught their children, and it was a part of their society to be a disciplined people. You know, that old English, keep up a, stiffer up lip. We kind of inherited those types of principles, and we actually had a very disciplined society. Anyway, as I've said this before, to identify our problem, it is this simple. Our real problem in debasing our society and our real problem in controlling the direction of where we're going, it is our education system. And that is one of the key reasons why we have to, initiate republic review. If you need a better argument, it is taking back the education system. I can tell you that Plato was not working in a vacuum. I can tell you that Plato actually, he may have had access to empirical data, but how much empirical data did he have? They didn't have the computer, the internet, and all of these types of things. So how did he learn about the histories of all these other societies? Because it really wasn't present for him. He didn't understand all of the details of ancient Egypt. They didn't have the resources to document all of that. So what happened? How did he know? And I'm telling you, he had to have inspiration and insight. And I'm not going to believe that he was necessarily inspired by the Lord. And so I truly believe that people can receive all sorts of guidance because, again, remember I talked about a society that believes, and the polls of our society here, back in the 90s, there was a poll. 80% of the people in America believed in Christ, believed that there was a Christ. Less than 50% believed that Satan even existed. And so today, and that back in those days, it was probably 60% were pretty much regularly active. And when they say regularly, at least once a month going to church, Today, it is less than 50% regularly active. About 50% are going to church, and it's even less than 50% that are regularly active in attending church. And so we have allowed ourselves to be distracted by going watching NFL football games instead of going to church. We've allowed ourselves to be distracted by all of these bad influences in our life. This is a network of systems, entities, and organizations seeking to obtain institutionalized slavery at the global level with no escape if we do not stop this. Their goal is subjugation. And I'll give you some, I'll give you good perspective. Remember the Minority Report? And remember how they wanted to get to a point where they had these, I forget, they were precognitives or whatever, these people in a pool that were, you know, be able to actually foresee a crime before it happened. And so they want to get to a point where they can control society to that degree. And without you even committing a crime, they can arrest you. And you can be, and that's where they want to get. They want to be able to control your thoughts and be able to control every aspect of life. And that you either comply and you get along, or you don't, and you get arrested, ostracized, you get taken out of the public, and you just go away. I know Trevor Lawton talks a lot about this communist infiltration and what they're trying to do. If you haven't seen his videos, I have some links on both my, I think it's my Take Action page, as well as my links page, as well as my podcast page. Watch those videos. He actually points the fingers at some very specific institutions like the SEIU and so forth that are backing the training of these communists and these radical demonstrations that get out of hand and so forth. Again, they are seeking control of every facet of our society and our life. And they want to control your speech and thought, as I've been saying. So sadly, our government over the past several decades has been successful in getting us to surrender our liberties, even under Bush Sr. and under Bush Jr. And so, to cast some irony on this, as I kind of said this before, the deep state is also fighting Trump, leading him on a path to impeachment. Is this a vendetta? Is this justice? Or could this be another necessary step in breaking down safeguards within the Constitution? Remember, they invoked, by Trump's behest, by his requesting that the Senate use the nuclear option in getting Gorsuch appointed, I believe that they're going to be probably compromising the Constitution once again. Remember, the deep state only put a blemish on Clinton. I mean, they're still running around, you know, like kings, and they're looked to like royalty. And why is that? That has nothing to do with the justice of our system. Had we had justice in our system, then he would have been tried for his treasonous crimes of giving away for money all sorts of technology to China and assisting China in all sorts of ways. But I digress. Our education system has taught us the evils of McCarthyism because he came close to bringing down many of the communists who were working to destroy our constitutional republic. This is why McCarthyism is a derogatory term, and you will be shamed by them using that. In addition, their quick gun control mantra after any type of gun violence, to me, indicates that they are in every bit of the fight to disarm us. That has to happen, and it's going to happen soon. Will that finally motivate you? I can talk about Megyn Kelly and watching her as on Fox News when she was criticizing Governor Abbott over his position on the Constitutional Convention. And then she says, what does he know about the Constitution? I can tell you, she knows nothing about the Constitution other than what the progressives want her to know and what she's willing to believe, because she really does not understand, and you can't understand the Constitution unless you start digging through the ratification debates, my friends. And so with that, I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic with your help. Let everybody else know to help tune in and get this word passed out. Thank you very much. God bless.